Morning, you are the Bulletin Bay CCTV.
Ben, a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
I really do wonder sometimes what we're becoming in this country.
It's not left. It's not right. It's the state versus you. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
I've seen a lot of things escalate over a matter of time, and this new hate crime legislation that could pass coming up on January 1st is quite disturbing in light of all this talk that we're hearing now about the Pentagon and their secret black operations to destroy information on the internet and, of course, take part in cyber wars. Then, of course, you have the issue of network neutrality. Now, as we'll distinguish in this interview with Ted Pike, those are separate issues than the one that he's talking about, but they are interrelated. Because censorship is becoming, it's not official, it's not signed in the books, but it's happening more and more. As diverse of information and talk radio that could be considered by many to be subversive is eliminated and, of course, swept under the rug. So less and less Americans can hear a message. Now, what if hate crime legislation was added onto that? That would affect talk radio, most especially programs like you hear on this network. Well, now I hear that Ted Pike is now on the line, so we'll get his take on this new legislation and talk a little bit about his new article as well. Ted, calling all the way in from Clackamas, how are you?
Yes. Well, it's nice to be with you as a fellow Oregonian, Alex.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on. Tell me a little bit about, before we get into the legislation, a little bit about some of your books. We have a break coming up here pretty quickly, but a little bit some of your books, your videos, and what you've been doing with the National Prayer Network.
Yes, well, a lot of RBN listeners are aware of how I have been pretty much leading in the hate bill fight over the last several years, but I also have other works having to do with Israel and Zionism and matters Jewish. We'll talk about that in just a minute.
Yes, we will. We'll get right back to that. And give us a call as well when you're ready to have a question for Ted Pike, who's with us for the remainder of the hour, at 1-800-313-9443. Keep it right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back.
Oh, welcome.
Go outside the box live. We apologize for any technical difficulties experienced during the show and during the last break. Hopefully I'm coming through okay at the moment. Now, one of the things that we're going to talk about today is the high disciplined sanctions that, of course, are being directed to Kim Jong-il. Can you believe it? I bet he's just shaking in his boots right now over testing a nuclear weapon. Apparently, there are now going to be sanctions on Kim Jong-il, preventing him from getting flat-screen TVs. And there's one thing else, folks, iPods as well. Wow. I have no idea what they're thinking or what they expect Americans to think when they read something like that. And when you read something like that and you hear, well, the guy's not going to get his luxury goods anymore. Are we that ignorant? I mean, honestly, are we? Is our nation that dumbed down? Have we fallen that far down the memory hole to not remember all of the stories and the tapes that have gotten out of North Korea, exposing the life that the young live over there, the orphans without parents, people to look after them, explain to them what's going on? It's a sad situation indeed. Michael Richards is still in the news as well. I was talking about him the other day. Somebody emailed me recently this morning and reminded me that Michael Richards is a Mason. But this is interesting because the question has been proposed. Is this a psyops? Is Michael Richards supposedly doing all of this on purpose? And I'm not saying that I'm saying that, not at all. I have no proof. That would actually sound kind of strange to just say that without any evidence. But this is also where people are thinking and where a lot of you are thinking, and I understand that. And it is within the realm of possibility. All of a sudden, Michael Richards wants to take the forefront on banning the N-word. Okay. And he stands with Paul Mooney, the African-American comedian who makes a living off of excessive use of the N-word. He's a regular feature on the Chappelle Show. Many of you have seen him. Okay. But what benefit, how much more freer am I going to be with another piece of legislation, another piece of paper that's supposed to make this world a better place for you and me? Number one question, first and foremost, on so many of these issues, cui bono, who benefits? Whether it's 9/11, the war on terror, and the incremental surveillance society. Those issues in connection with this issue, hate crime legislation. Who does it benefit and who's going to be prosecuted? Take a good long listen to Michael Savage, or I should say by his real name, Michael Weiner, about how he talks about the Muslim world. Killing all of them. And this has been repeated and echoed by not only him, but by Glenn Beck of CNN as well, as he also spoke on George Noy's program, Coast to Coast. So this philosophy exists. I've traced this along with this diabolical, because it is very diabolical in its nature, the diabolical nature of torture. And we think torture, we think mob style, we think Goodfellas, we think something we've seen in a movie. We don't really know what's going on, do we? I mean, we hear about waterboarding. We hear about the simulated drowning, making them think their child's testicles will be crushed, or something else is going to happen to their children, doing anything and everything to these men. Other human beings like us, many innocent, so that they will break. So that they will break. and confess to anything that we ask them to confess to, as long as the pain stops and the razor blade is removed from the penis. As I reported last week. Very graphic, but what about the stories that we don't hear about, that we don't know about? This truly appears to me to be a manifestation of the MK Ultra mind control project run by the CIA by Nazi scientists, brought here during the 40s at the aftermath of World War II, put to work at that time, doing experiments on our servicemen, the Army. What does LSD do to the mind? Now, officially in the 70s, a lot of records were destroyed. There was no information. There was classified information. You had the 1977 church hearings, where all this was publicly brought out into light. In fact, ABC, and I actually have a copy of it somewhere, did a late 70s news piece on government mind control. Now think about how quiet it got all of a sudden. Like all of this went away. With the torture, it's not just about a lack of respect for freedom or the Bill of Rights. That's the sugarcoating. That's the front of the illusion. The deeper aspect, one of the deeper multitude of aspects that we're talking about today, is the lack of respect for human life. Not just American or Caucasian life, but just human life as a whole. Based upon my upbringing, my memories of elementary school, middle school, high school, and so on, that slavery didn't actually still exist. That race wars weren't as prevalent in today's world as they actually are. Much less. You're saturated with a world, an encapsulated world that the educational system prepares you for. And I look back at that time and look at where I am today, looking at the world with a different set of eyes, almost literally, if you will. It's kind of traumatic because you look at that and you look at the reality. And you want to find a way to change that, but also make sense of how this could be going on in a world where there are apparently so many quote-unquote good Christians, good Muslims, good Buddhists, good people that are New Agers, or whatever box or label the person has to be. I don't believe in boxes. I don't believe in saying, oh, this is what I am and these are my people. Because people behind the facade, the psychological mask that many, many people wear on top of their inner self, their truth self, the one that we don't always let the other part of the world see who we really are, the mask tells us we're better than other people because we think a certain way. And culturally, sociologically, psychologically, this divide and rule, divide and conquer game is very successful. This game that the Illuminati that implement with their fists being the new world order. How do they do that? How do they maintain a sense of divide and rule? Easy. They get us to participate in. Forget the value of life. And like dogs, like animals, the lower self, opposite of the higher self, the beast energy, we flock to that. And we stake out our territory. And we find our animal primitive tribe as we prepare to go to war. Now, all this stuff looks very, very high tech, the weapons we're using, doesn't it? The unmanned aerial vehicles, the weapons that Israel and the Mossad are developing, these hornets. I can go down alleys, think about it, flying bees, dropping mini nukes, chasing a 12-year-old boy with no Israeli, Palestinian, or anyone stopping in the meantime to save him because they can't do anything. Now,
All this seems very high-tech, doesn't it, on the surface level? And science says, as a whole, the official word of science, modern science, that is, that this is progress. That this is progress. But on the deeper level, behind the flashy lights, the wonderful commercials that Microsoft is bringing you, that IBM is bringing you about the new biometric slave state, this is all very primitive, and this is all very old. And what I mean primitive and old, I mean the old energy. This is Babylonian. This is history repeating itself. This is Adolf Hitler, but Adolf Hitler never had the toys that we have for controlling the world. And the generations to come. Look at how much they've involved themselves in food. Not only in the food supply, transportation, that is the price of oil, which transports the food from one place to another, but the quality and production of the food at the plant. Going beyond just the genetically modified products of Nabisco and the other corporations, ask yourself this. What if you want to be a farmer and you want to get involved in the seed? Well, they own the seed as well. We're going to get more involved with the New World Order and how they use divide and conquer to separate us and fulfill their master plan. We'll be right back on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Numbers to call 1-800-313-9443. And before I get to my next thought of the day, one of the headline news items that I'm looking at from the Telegraph.uk, according to Stephen Hawking, man must leave the planet Earth soon. Apparently, mankind will need to venture far beyond planet Earth to ensure the long-term survival of our species. And that is according to the world's best-known scientist, Professor Stephen Hawking. Returning to a theme he has voiced many times before, the Cambridge University cosmologist said today that space rockets propelled by the kind of matter-antimatter annihilation technology popularized in Star Trek, of all things, would be needed to help Homo sapiens colonize hospitable planets orbiting alien stars. And he disclosed his own ambition to go into space, noting maybe Richard Branson would help him. Yeah, Professor Hawking, who was confined to a wheelchair by motor neuron disease, was commenting using a muscle below his right eye to operate via a switch on his glasses, his voice synthesizer. Interesting. Stephen Hawking, interesting man. Einstein as well. They all noted in their own way some of the dangers mankind faces. Is he right? Well, what do you think? Stephen Hawking doesn't exactly stand alone. He doesn't stand alone. And this isn't the first time he spoke out and said, looking at it from the way we're standing right now, without any change whatsoever, he noted in an article I mentioned about a month and a half ago, the way things are going, I believe nuclear warfare, he specifically mentioned nuclear warfare, will be the way that we go out. Okay, now I have an update for you on the United Nations. Apparently, according to the BBC, UN troops face child abuse claims. Children have been subjected to rape and prostitution by United Nations peacekeepers in Haiti, Liberia. This is all according to a BBC investigation. Now, girls there have told of regular encounters with soldiers where sex is demanded in return for food or money. A senior official with the organization has accepted the claims as credible. The UN has faced several scandals involving its troops in recent years, some of which many of you already know about, including a DR Congo pedophile ring and prostitution trafficking in Kosovo. The Assistant Secretary General for Peacekeeping Operations acknowledges that sexual abuse is widespread, saying, quote, we've had a problem probably since the inception of peacekeeping. Interesting indeed. Problems of this kind of exploitation of vulnerable populations, something we've seen before. My operating presumption is that either a problem or a potential problem in every single one of our missions is happening, and this situation is called, quote, rampant. You know, something very sick about pedophiles, isn't there? On the subject of pedophiles, Kissinger to serve as an advisor to the Pope. This is according to the National Catholic Register. Pope Benedict the 16th has invited Henry Kissinger, former advisor to Richard Nixon, to be a political consultant, and Kissinger has accepted. Over the course of his long and controversial career, Henry Kissinger has had many titles. Now, apparently, he actually has one more. Advisor to the Pope. This is big, folks. According to the Italian newspaper La Stampa, Pope Benedict XVI has invited the 83-year-old foreign advisor to Nixon to be a consultant, quoting an authoritative diplomatic source, the Holy See. The paper reported earlier this month, on November 4th, that he was asked at a recent private audience with the Holy Father to be a part of a papal advisory board on foreign and political affairs. Isn't this going to be interesting? Isn't the Pope like the man of God to many people? I don't believe so. I believe in follow the teachings, not the follower, especially when the follower has very suspicious ties to dark, satanic world leaders. So isn't this what I would consider to be a match made in heaven? If you see beyond the lies, the rhetoric, the veil, at these people that are your Christian leaders, many of them are deceivers and phonies. And what I want to really know is, what God do they really believe in? Here we are again. The Iraq War has lasted longer than World War II. Something we had mentioned earlier in the week, the war in Iraq has now lasted longer than the United States' involvement in the war that President Bush's father fought in, which was World War II. As of Sunday, the conflict in Iraq has raged for 3 years and just over 8 months. Now remember, all these things are happening right around the Pope. He understands what Bush is all about. He shakes hands with the president. He's at the funerals with the president. They're having secret talks behind closed doors. Think for yourself. Is this a Christian leader? We'll pick up on that when we come back. Keep it right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we're taking your calls, 1-800-313-9443. Well, if the Iraq War has lasted longer than World War II, is it still a successful war? What is the next step? I came across an interesting article last night written by Tex Mars, who lives down in Austin, Texas, and he's written some very interesting books. I will say that, especially his last one on secret societies and symbolic meanings in our world. He noted the fact that there's a very good possibility, according to him, very soon, in the near future, could be a false flag operation, terrorist strike engineered by either the United States and or Israel. In the Gulf there, where these fleets, these Navy ships, something I'm not an expert on. Many of you apparently seem to know a lot about this issue, so I'm curious what you think about this. The possibility that they're going to be attacked, and also possibly they're mobilizing for war, for a real strike on Iran, just based upon the numbers of ships that are participating in these interesting
drills. Now, on the topic of NATO, which we have been keeping you up to date on this program, accept defeat by Taliban is what Pakistan is now telling NATO. Senior Pakistani officials are urging NATO countries to accept the Taliban and work towards a new coalition government in Kabul that might exclude the Afghan president, Hamid Karzai. Just a little background information, just to remind you, Mr. X salesman for Unocal. Now you can see Unocal Think 76 gas station. That's right. So he already has an interest beyond that of saving the Afghan people. And there's much more. But to this Hamid Karzai, that meets you guys as well. Pakistan's foreign minister, Khurshid Qasui, said in private briefings to foreign ministers of some of NATO member states the Taliban are winning the war in Afghanistan and that NATO is bound to fall. He has advised against sending more troops. George W. Bush is undecided at the moment on what to do. It seems there is a plan, and also involves the draft, something we were talking about yesterday. It comes down to what are they going to do. They don't have lots of options. You either pull everybody out and declare the war a failure and get ready for your next stupid war, or you double the troops. You increase them dramatically. How are they going to do that without a draft? Well, that's where NATO comes in, because in the larger scheme of things, the European Union is turning their country into an overpriced slave state. Yes, yes, the euro may be rising, but that does not mean that the lifestyle of the average European is going to get much better. Beyond the rhetoric of the Environmental Law Protection Acts that they use to track and trace the garbage you throw out and whatnot. I do think we waste, by the way, too much within garbage. But nonetheless, they're using that as an excuse, as a pretext, to track and trace basically all the movements. And with the European Union and the continent of Europe, and especially the country of Britain itself, you know, I don't know if I ever in my life ever want to travel to that country, to be honest with you. You know, at one point I did. I wanted to go to Europe. People don't really look at the news the same way I do. I see a lot of these decisions coming from Europe. I really do. And I don't have a very strong desire. I know a lot of you look at my face and you see I'm dark-skinned. And I talked about my father who has some Middle Eastern blood. Well, I also have some Austrian, strong Austrian blood in me as well. So I have those roots as well. I'm literally caught between two worlds. But I have no desire. At one point, I had a desire to see Afghanistan. Before I got involved in all these political things, it was after 9/11. I wanted to go there because I wanted to see it, a country, some of what wasn't completely destroyed, before it was gone. Because I knew after 9/11, Afghanistan was never going to be the same, and I wanted to see it before the bombs. I wanted to see some clean air. The mass destruction of Afghanistan, the bulk of it, mind you, a lot of it happened during the Civil War, during the 1980s, prior to the reign of the Taliban, which took place in 1996 and lasted until 2001. But they were constantly funded by Western intelligence throughout the entire time. And what were we doing, standing on the sidelines while the supposed horrific things were going on to the women there, which did happen? But who turned a blind eye to that? Who supported them? Who made sure that the drug flow maintained the course that it was already on? Because this wasn't just about 9/11. This was about the smack. Maybe that's a subject I haven't talked enough about. There's always this illusion. There's always this fraud that people buy. And that it's this government, everything it does, it's coming from the motivation, the agenda of trying to make the world a better place. You ever stop to think why? Why in so many cases they put a band-aid on a gunshot wound? You ever think why? Instead of bandaging up the wound, they just throw alcohol on it and call that a cure. They attempt to fix the symptom instead of the cause. Now, you can call that incompetence, just like you can say 9/11 was only caused by incompetence, was caused by faulty intelligence.
FBI agents that were sleeping on the job, perhaps. A Department of Defense that wasn't fully prepared to have some fighter jets within an hour and 50 minutes up into the buildings. But now I digress. My point is this. This accidental view of history, this incompetence view of not only 9/11, but all the problems that our government has caused in this country, overlooking the big facts, their involvement with the importation of powder cocaine from Latin America. This is nothing new. This issue was just swept under the rug as the war on drugs rolled on, which helped the police state flex and build the mighty muscles that were only supernaturally empowered with the steroid-like substance that was the post 9/11 surveillance world. It's a beast. It's a beast, and like Frankenstein, we collectively as a nation, through our faulty elected leaders, have created that beast. This is the bed that we sleep in. We made this bed. It looks a certain way. It's a nightmare. We have to change it. We have to remake it. We have to recreate it. And how is recreating any of the things that I talk about even possible if we believe the lies that surround us, that scream and demand that it is impossible? We have no right. We have no power. There's nothing we can do to change things when we see people around us demonized for speaking out, for daring, of course, to think outside the box, to shout with a bullhorn towards the herd. Here's an article from CNN.com posted yesterday entitled, "Peace on Earth? Question mark? Not in our subdivision." Now, before I go into this, this is a whole other element of a bureaucracy, a group of humans that should not be controlling another group of humans. I have not encountered this group a lot in Oregon. The first time I heard of it was when I was visiting a couple down in Round Rock, Texas. It was either Round Rock or it was Flagerville or something like that. I'm sorry, I forget. But I was down there, and they were telling me about living in this area zoned by the Homeowners Association. The Homeowners Association. And tell you the color that your house can be, what you could put on your house, and actually make sure if you live in that neighborhood to be accepted to live there in that house, you have to keep up your lawn. It has to look a certain way. Well, here we go. A homeowners association in southwestern Colorado has threatened to fine a resident $25 a day until she removes a Christmas wreath with a peace sign that some say is anti-Iraq war protest, is an anti-war Iraq protest, or they also think it could be this. Are you ready, friends? A symbol of Satan. Some residents who have complained to have children serving in Iraq, says the president of the Homeowners Association there in the area. He says some residents believe the wreath was a symbol of Satan. Three or four residents complained. I mean, it's funny, all this makes an article, and that someone would decide that I'm going to fine you. I'm going to control your life. Now, without giving this article or these scumbags the time of day, moving on from this article, think about this. So here we are, censoring not only what we say, the t-shirts we wear, but if we're in the perimeter, the grasp, the view of the Homeowners Association, if their bias, their perspective isn't for freedom, if it does stand with the fear, the power structure that gives them a feeling of goodness and whole being, which is a lie in and of itself, side issue. But if that's something they're coming from and they're going to choose to implement their power, they are no different than the fascists you also protest against, because they have joined the ranks
the ranks of the beast, those that turn on their own, in their own population, if they, of course, look or appear to be not all on the up and up. DNA of suspects' families to be held on police officers, on police files, for an undisclosed amount of time? What is that? Now, you know what? I want to start thinking now, for the next 5 minutes, about what utopia looks like. Now, it's not a utopia that I can create by myself, and nor should any of us be able to have that power to tell everyone else how it's going to be. But if we ever want to really understand how things escalated to this point, everything you've seen through the videotapes, through the documentaries, through the books, building us up to this monumental point in time on the brink of World War III, IV, V, VI, however you want to look at it. How do we change that? Is it simply just changing a president? Even if it was a president that did what we want him to do, to stop this madness, to pull us out of Iraq, to investigate 9/11, would the entire power structure even be brought down? How integrated is it already? How did it get here? Everything we've seen, from those of you that have called in, no, it starts back here, it's the Federal Reserve, no, it's 1776, no, you have to take it back to the days of Babylon, all these different perspectives. I believe you all have your own truth, because you all are seeing the bigger picture. This is much larger than George W. Bush or 9/11. Now, if we understand that, and we want to move forward with a solution, how do we do that without getting caught into some hive mind solution proposal coming straight from the United Nations or secretly some other socialist program? Because the Illuminati, those that are involved in the programming, the propaganda, the mind washing, understand. They understand that we need to feel like we're protesting something, like we're changing something, like the guard is changing and there's going to be a different outcome tomorrow. That's what they've done with the elections. That's actually what the elections are really about, because politics, my friends, are dead today. It's all big business. It's just a joke. It's a show. It's a play. It's theater. That would, of course, make Shakespeare barf. But I mean, it's theater. And if we want to talk about solutions, we have to really understand the problem. We really have to understand what the problem is. The solution isn't easy, and the solution isn't down to one person. Like I said, you know, unless we're going to collectively change things, what we need to do at this point is learn how to put it this way. If you're in a ring and you're boxing, and you're hit, when you fall back, when you parry, that blow, and you can't block it, and when you parry, you move to the side, and you dunk and weave, you need to minimize the attack, and prepare your counter. It's very simple. So the onslaught, the attack, the fist of the New World Order directed by the Illuminati has already been executed, and it's coming in waves. As we're getting hit, like Aikido, using their energy against them, we need to learn how to step aside of the central point of where that power is coming from, deflect it, and return with our own defense. And what is that defense? That's something with proper intent, energy, the light of God. We need to be in the right in this battle. And to sit here and do it toe-to-toe with this system, preemptive attacks, building up camps to fight off may seem logical and strategic, and it may actually be necessary. I will give you that. I actually will give you that. But to treat that as the number one first reaction, gut reaction, may not be the best decision. A lot of people aren't looking at the news going, is there something more to this than the type of surveillance we've seen 10 years ago? Here's an article, NYPD install Skywatch in Harlem neighborhood. Now, the average citizen sees that and goes, well, that's Harlem. That doesn't affect me here in Portland. That doesn't affect me here in Wisconsin. This doesn't affect me here in California. But it does. all these things are coming to a head. And if you stop, quiet your mind, go down to the coffee shop down the street, do a little people watching, and you can see the changes in society. You can see people merge more and more with the beast. You can see people become more darker in their own lives. That's what life is, making decisions, going different routes in life. But the collective mind of humans also is showing us that they can wake up, that they can see the light, that we can see through the veil. We'll be right back in just a moment. Keep it right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we have just a few moments left here on the broadcast. We're going to go to Troy. If you're still there, calling all the way from New York.
Yes.
Hi, Troy. Yeah.
You were talking about all the false preachers and which God is it that we truly believe in? Well, I wonder how many people really know the real McCoy. I would say nobody. And the real McCoy is revealed in John, believe it or not. But who, if you really want to know God, you got to go to John. Matthew 11:27 says all things. Let's see. He says, "No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." And Luke, who basically repeats Matthew, says the same thing. But if you want to know the real McCoy, you got to go to John. And John is the only one who says the Son and the Father are both. This actually says Jesus is the creator of the universe. No other apostle, no other Christian ever said that. At the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, the Word. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I tell you that to this day, the darkness has never comprehended the Word, and yet it is in the Word, in John, where John reveals that the Son, who the Son is, and who the Father is, and what the Trinity is all about. I don't suppose there's enough time now, in the remaining 2 or 3 minutes, but it would take that much time to go over John, show you how he knew the real McCoy, and no other Christian ever did.
Right. Well, I'm sure you don't
believe me, nor your readers. But then again, like I said, there's
quite a few Christian listeners on this network. So I've heard John that chapter in the Bible many times. So I think people understand where you're coming from.
It's not a chapter. It's various quotations of John.
I know, but you're referring to the Book of John,
whereby he reveals himself.
No one's trying to disagree with you.
No, they will disagree with me vehemently. But what I'm telling you is, if you want
to know what, wait, hang on. That's okay though. Let them do that, because that doesn't matter. What's important for you, Troy, is what you believe in. You can't make people change to think the way you want them to think every time.
What's important is the truth.
That's part of the problem that we're in the mess of the war, is getting people to think the way we do constantly.
What's important is not what you or I believe. Or anybody else.
We're about to leave the program, Troy, but you can call back another day. We're a minute left, but I thank you for calling. And I understand where you're coming from. There's no argument there, but, we all have the right to believe as we want to believe in this country. And in terms of coming to God, what you said is important. I mean, I don't think you need to necessarily read a verse to understand that. That's common knowledge to me, Troy, to understand that we come to God through our own hearts, through our own sense of consciousness, through that connection with God. So I agree with you, and a lot of people know that deep down inside, you don't need a minister, a priest, to be that middleman for you. They are not better than you. That's the key That's the secret. Troy, thanks for calling. Keep listening. And for in the meantime, I'm Alex reminding you all that the ultimate truth still starts in your own ability. See for yourself what's really going on. That's your heart.